Hello, hello, guys. Welcome to the podcast. This is Nicole. You have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. I hope you are having a wonderful day. On the day I am recording, it is sunny outside, and it basically hasn't been for freaking ever. So it's just sort of lovely and light and bright today, which I love. But I have been working back to back, and I haven't literally even stepped outside yet. So I'm going to record this intro, and then I'm going to go get some fresh air, maybe take the blue dog for a little walk. He had the groomer this morning, which he super loathes, and I had to chase him up two flights of stairs and then lure him down with a biscuit and then walk behind him and push him down the stairs gently. He had his mobile groomer, Ashley, come because we had to go with a mobile groomer. We used to take him to a regular groomer, and he was so freaking panicked. It was so upsetting to watch. So now we pay double for a van to come to my driveway and to groom him. But it's actually working out, and he looks glorious. I'm looking over at him. Glorious, and he is wearing a striped tie. I will take a picture of Blue and his glorious blue and white striped tie, and I will put it on my Instagram story. So those of you listening who follow me on Instagram at NJSachs, if not, please do. Follow me for all the information I put out there. Blue Dog will be wearing a striped tie, and he will be in all of his glorious glory. Okay, I am so excited to share this interview with you today with Angie Firmolino. Angie is such an impressive person to me. I first became acquainted with Angie's work about a year and a half ago when I came across the documentary that was made about her struggle and her life, essentially, after being implanted with a medical device called E-Shore that, although approved by the FDA, was completely and utterly, how can I even put it? It was terrible. It was trash. It worked terribly. It hurt so many women. It migrated from where it was supposed to be in the fallopian tubes to many different areas of their pelvic region, causing tremendous trauma, both emotionally and mentally and physically, of course, requiring surgeries, often requiring hysterectomies. And so the documentary is called The Bleeding Edge. And I watched it on Netflix because, of course, I'm super interested in any medical documentary. And I'm also just a complete documentary fiend on Netflix. And I watched it, and I didn't know her personally. She was just a person on the TV to me. And about a year later, I get an email from this woman, Angie. And she says, oh my God, I've been through so much with this medical device, E-Shore. And after even it was removed, I had all these really upsetting, debilitating chronic health problems, and I came across your work, and it's changing my life. And as she was describing her situation and describing the documentary, I was like, wait a second, I've seen this. And so it was really awesome to connect with her, and she and I have become friendly, and she's trying to help me spread the word about my work, and I am, of course, trying to do anything I can to support her in healing herself. And so when she agreed to come on the podcast today, I was really excited. So I'm super excited to share her story with you. It's emotional, it's impactful, it's inspiring, it's brave, it's vulnerable, and I just respect her so much. So today, Angie and I are going to speak on the podcast, which I am going to share with you now. So just quickly, if you are looking to find out more about my work, go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. On my resources tab, I have everything you need to know about doing my work. Much of it is free. On my retreats tab, I have links to come study with me in person in California. I'm sorry, in February, I will be in Chicago. In April, I will be in California. And in New York, I'm sorry, in August, I will be in New York at the Omega Institute for my second annual retreat there. So please come and join me. Learn with me in person. Join our community. I have a community on Facebook called Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs, LCSW, and it really is the most beautiful supportive community you would ever want to be part of. Join us there. It's a private group. Just ask to join, and we will welcome you into its arms. And also, of course, if you want to know my story and if you need a written account of how to heal yourself, please go to Amazon and get my book, The Meaning of Truth. It tells you everything. All right, guys, I send big, massive love to you. I want you to know that if you want your own questions answered personally by me, hop over to patreon.com, patreon.com/NicoleSachs, LCSW. My name is spelled SACHS, and Nicole does not have an H in it. People ask me a lot. And if you want to pledge $35 a month, I am doing a special extra podcast for my Patreon community where I answer your specific questions. Your question will be answered. So if that is interesting to you, that opportunity is there for you. All right, my loves, I will see you on the other side of this. I enjoy sharing people's experience, strength, and hope. And here today, I give you Angie. Hi, everyone, and welcome. We are here today with Angie Firmolino, who I've gotten to know pretty well. And I was so glad that she was willing to come on today and share her story, because when we share our stories, it is so powerful. So welcome, Angie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So awesome to have you here. So I'm going to do what I usually do, which I'm going to let you take the lead. Share with us your story and what you think kind of brought you into the work and how it has been and how your body has changed. I'm thrilled to hear whatever you have to share.
Okay. So hi, everybody. Thanks again for having me. My story with pain started in 2009. And up to that point, I had been a very healthy, very active woman and mom, hiking, camping, working in my garden, just had a great life and very, very healthy and very strong. In 2009, after our son was born, we decided that was going to be our last child, and I decided I was going to be the one to get the sterilization. So most women know that tubal ligation is kind of the go-to for sterilization for women. Right. So I had that conversation with my OBGYN, and he told me about this new medical device called eSure that could be done in the office without surgery, without anesthesia. They go in vaginally with a piece of equipment called a hysteroscope. It has a camera on it, and attached to the end of it is the medical device, and they go up through the vagina, into the cervix, into the uterus. They find each fallopian tube, and they put one device on each side. And that device is supposed to cause scar tissue to grow, therefore preventing pregnancy. And it's supposed to take about 3 months for the scar tissue to grow. So you use birth control up until that point, and then all is supposed to be well. So I had the procedure done in April of 2011. I had the procedure done in August of 2009. My son was about 3 months old, and the procedure was very painful. We did do it in the office. It took almost an hour. My best friend was there with me holding my hand the entire time. She watched on the video screen as he was looking for the fallopian tubes and trying to put these coils in. And I was just in excruciating pain when it was over. I was cramping. I couldn't get up off the table. It was just pretty horrific experience. Went home, went to bed, cramping and bleeding. And from that point on, I would say the pain continued at about a level 4 or 5 on both sides. I could feel them in my fallopian tubes. And of course, they say you're not supposed to be able to feel them, right. But I could feel them.
Yeah.
And the bleeding was heavy and the cramping was strong. But I had a little baby. I had two little girls. I had to get ready for school. Life continued moving on. I'm like, okay, in a couple of months, I'm going to start feeling better. But I didn't start feeling better. And I started running fevers, and I started having problems with my joints, and I started having fatigue and just all these things that weren't gynecological in nature. So I wasn't putting any, you know, connection between the device and what was going on with my body, but I just wasn't well. And so then in April of 2011, I went into my OBGYN just for an annual exam. And the midwife that was doing the exam asked me how everything was. And I told her I was having, you know, all of these issues, but I was also bleeding very heavily, and I was having a lot of cramping and a lot of stabbing pain on my left side. And she's like, well, explain to me bleeding heavily. And I was like, well, I've been bleeding for 30 days straight as of today. And she's like, wait, what? That's not okay. We need to order an ultrasound. So she ordered the ultrasound, and I had that done. And I remember the ultrasound tech asking me if I had an IUD. And some women might be familiar with IUDs. It's a temporary birth control that they put into your uterus and it's removable.
Right.
I said, no, I actually had Esher. And she turned the monitor away from me and she's like, I'm going to go get the doctor. I'll be right back. And so she went and got the doctor who was the implanting doctor. And he came in and he looked at the screen and he looked at me and said, looks like your Esher is in your uterus. Get dressed and meet me in my office. And I kind of went into shock mode. I was like, wait a minute. I didn't know that that could even happen. So I'm getting dressed and going to his office and trying to process, like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And he seemed frantic, which was making me feel more frantic. And, you know, he's talking to me about surgery and getting them out, and we can do them right here and pull it out in the office, or we can go in the OR. And I'm like, step back. I'm like, I need to think about this. Yeah. I'm like, I can't just schedule surgery next week. I have a job. I have children. Give me some time. He's like, well, let's put it on the calendar for like 3 weeks from now. And then you can call me if we need to change that. So I did that. And then I went out to my car and I just cried. And I called my husband, told him what had happened and that I was going to need a surgery because my permanent birth control devices had expelled and were embedded in my uterus. And I came home and I did a little searching online. And I found the Esher website and they had a 1-800 number. So I called that and I told them, hey, this is what happened to me. Mine have expelled. They're in my uterus. What are my options? What do I need to do? And she says, well, I can give you a list of Esher certified physicians in your area. If you don't feel comfortable with your current doctor, you can go see some other doctors about removal. So she gave me that list, made a few phone calls, made a few visits. Picked one doctor, and on April 20th, 2011, I had surgery to remove the devices. At that time, there was no removal protocol on the internet or anywhere. So I trusted the physician, and she told me, you know, under anesthesia, I'm going to go in vaginally. I'm going to cut the one that's embedded in your wall out. I'm going to take a look at the other one. If it needs to be removed, I'll remove that one as well. And then obviously you're not sterile, so I'll go through the abdomen and I will do a tubal ligation. Okay. Sounded like a fair plan.
Right.
So we went through with it. Woke up from surgery. She said everything went well. Went home, you know, rest and heal. I'm thinking everything's going to get better. But things didn't really get a whole lot better. And the pain started coming back and the bleeding started coming back. I had started a Facebook group at this point and was speaking with other women that were going through the same thing. And I came across a physician's website that talked about Esher removal. And this was the first time I had seen anything online. And he said, absolutely, do not remove them vaginally, pull them, cut them. They're fragile. They're going to break. And I was like, oh, crap. That's the surgery that I had. So now I'm concerned. And I go back to her with the surgeon with this information, and I printed it out and I handed it to her. She wouldn't even look at it, just pushed it away. I got everything out of you. I don't know what you're talking about. All I can do for you is order you an ultrasound if you're still having pain. So we did that, and I got a follow-up call. Oh, well, now you have a fibroid. We can do a DNC, which is another horrible procedure. And I just didn't want to go through with that. And I still didn't feel comfortable with her, the way she acted with me.
Right.
So I went to my primary care, told him all of the story, showed him this report. And he said, well, why don't you order your surgical report from your operation? And in the meantime, we'll do a pelvic x-ray. So we did a pelvic x-ray, and there were just what he called foreign bodies in my pelvis.
Oh,
he's like, well, that could be metal. I'm going to have to send you for more testing, a CAT scan, this and that. So he sent me for more testing. I came home. I ordered the surgical notes from my removal surgery. They finally came in the mail. And as I read through them, and these are the notes that are written by the surgeon, she wrote in there, while she was pulling one of the devices out, it broke. And she had to go back in to retrieve the other part of it. Now, she never told me that. And even when I went back in and said, I'm still having problems, and I found this on the internet, she still didn't come clean. So obviously, I wasn't going to go back to her.
Yeah. So, and also, I just want to bring connection, because I know a lot of people who are listening may not have had an Esher and this experience, but to not be able to trust a doctor where your health and your body, literally under anesthesia, are in their hands, it's a really vulnerable and terrifying place to be.
It is. It really is. And then kind of getting bounced around a lot, you know. So now there's two OBGYNs that I don't want to go back to. My primary is trying to help me, but this is obviously, you know, way out of his wheelhouse, and he's doing the best he can to guide me. So it then took until 2014 to find another OBGYN to listen to me and to finally say, okay, I will do a hysterectomy for you. I'm looking at your images. Yes, it could be fragments. I can't say if it is or it isn't, but you're in pain and you're bleeding. You're done having children. If you want a hysterectomy, I will do that for you. So in March of 2014, I had the hysterectomy. A funny part was I had written a note to pathology and gave it to my husband. And then I was like, while they're wheeling me into the ER, bring this and give this to the pathologist. So I had written a letter and told him my experience and said, if you would please, when the tissues come to you, would you please x-ray them? I just want confirmation to see if there was metal.
Right.
And they did that. And it did confirm that there were metal in the tissues. So I was happy. Everything came out and I was supposed to get better. And unfortunately, it didn't go that well. I had trouble healing. I had to have two subsequent surgeries to repair the what's called the vaginal cuff, which is the top where, you know, they've removed your cervix and they have to sew it closed. Mine wasn't healing and it kept opening up and I kept hemorrhaging. So I had to have two more surgeries and then,
oh my God,
10 months of silver nitrate where they're cauterizing it and that burns. And it was just a very long year and a half of surgeries and painful procedures and not healing. And I'm down to 100 pounds and I can't take care of my house and I can't take care of my family. And all these other symptoms are happening and I'm getting headaches and I've had 4 joint surgeries at this point and my body is just falling apart. And I didn't have anywhere to go. You know, they're sending me to specialist after specialist after specialist. And the elbow doctor says, oh, it has nothing to do with your shoulder. And your shoulder
right.
doctor saying it has nothing to do with your headaches. And your headache doctor says, oh, it has nothing. Nobody's connecting any dots. Nobody's saying your immune system has been set off by this thing.
Yeah. Now we're entering into my territory.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, my body has gone into this fight or flight response from this traumatic experience.
Yes.
And, you know, that's language that I learned from you. But at the time, I'm just thinking, you know, this medical device has set off something in my system and I am sick and all these things are related to it. And so that's the way I'm focusing on it.
Right.
And so I'm seeing different specialists for all these different things. Nobody's making any connections, but there I am in this wheel of constant medical appointments, procedures. I'm getting injections for my neck, for my headaches. I'm getting, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, and they're throwing medications at me and they're throwing narcotics and gabapentin and all these meds. And, you know, maybe one or two will take the edge off, but nothing is making it go away.
Right.
So I think out of everything that I dealt with, you know, the surgery parts were very difficult, but I think the neck pain and the headaches were the most debilitating because it takes you down in a level where you can't even get out of bed. Sometimes I would just have to cover my eyes, cover my ears, be under my blankets and just not be stimulated by anything because the headaches were so bad. And I was at the point that my orthopedic doctor wanted to do a spinal fusion because how bad the occipital neuralgia was. I guess whatever cervical bones in my neck were pressing on the occipital nerve and that was giving me these occipital headaches. So I was looking at spinal fusion when I found you.
I want to pause you for 1 second and just to clarify, because I think a lot of people are very terrified within the information they receive from the medical community. And although I certainly by no means think all doctors are misinformed or out to get you, I actually think there's tons of really great doctors out there who have the best interests, your best interest in mind. When people say you're in pain because XYZ, because the bones are pressing on the nerves, blah, 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 I just want to interject that that was not the reason that Angie was in pain. That's the reason that a doctor thought she was in pain. And that's a very believable reason to be in pain. And I'm sure there were bones pressing on things. But the fact that this work heals people from the chronic pain that they suffer from, it's just very important for people to start separating those two notions. Like, for example, I have acute degenerative spondylolisthesis, which means the lower spine is totally jacked in like five different ways. I still look like that on MRI. And for many years, I believed that was the reason for my pain, but it actually never was the reason for my pain. So I just need to always jump in there and invite people to open their minds about that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I think they were just fishing at that point and hoping. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like they were just throwing rocks in the water to see what would work. And that was kind of the last resort. So I gave myself some time to think about it because I knew it wasn't going to help. Nothing else was helping. So getting ready to go to work, typing in things into my podcast search bar, because I like to listen to podcasts while I drive. And I typed in the word neuropathy, and a couple of episodes popped up, and one of them was yours. And I listened to it, and it was the key. It was the key that I had been searching for, because I had been on this wellness path trying to get myself healthier. You know, I had been trying all these different things after I stepped away from the medical model for a while. I got myself a sauna, and I got myself a jetted tub, and I have a traction unit, and I was going for massage and learned how to do Reiki and doing all these things, but there was still like that missing underlying key. Mm-hmm. And when I listened to that podcast, I was like, this is it. And so then I went back to number one and I binged your podcast in a couple of weeks. And then I binged your YouTube channels. And then I got Dr. Sarno's books on audio and listened to them. And then I was like doing the work and I was starting to feel better. And here we are. And I have to say, I can manage. I still have a little bit of pain, but I can manage it by using these new tools of, okay, here comes the pain, feel the emotion, locate the pain, you know, picture it in your mind, give it space, talk to it. Like now I have different tools that right. I didn't have before, and they work. They work very well for me.
It's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much. That was a really wonderful, concise. I know if for those of you who know what Angie has done with eShore, it is nothing short of miraculous through her advocacy work. And I know we didn't get completely into it because the story is so long, has essentially just enacted healing in terms of so many women being able to discuss this and know what's wrong with them. And then very recently had it taken off the market, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, what a feat. Yeah. What a feat. What a real amazing example of what happens when human beings don't just sit back and let the world happen to them. When we go out into the world and make sure that we are protected and others are protected. And the reason why I want to make sure to say that is because I think what struck me most, Angie, about your story is by the time I came in contact with you, Angie had contacted me because she was very comfortable in the world of advocacy and social media, since she had already been doing this for years, helping people understand what was going on with their bodies with eShore. She contacted me, and what is ironic and always to me very spiritual, because I always feel like there's a path for me and my journey, is I had already seen the documentary made about her life. you know, it's called The Bleeding Edge. And when was that out in the world published or whatever?
So that was released on Netflix in July of 2018. So it's been out for a little over a year now.
That's just so crazy, because I am a Netflix documentary nerd. I have basically seen almost every single one of them. And something that involves medical malpractice and a medical, you know, device that was infecting people was obviously something that would appeal to me, but I have no idea what made me watch it. I just knew I had seen it. And so when Angie started talking, I was like, I have seen you. I have seen you. I know you, which is so great for me because everyone always feels like they know me. So I was like, I know you right back. And so if anyone has not seen, please do check out that documentary, The Bleeding Edge. It's fascinating. Angie is featured in it, but also so many other women and men, because of course the men are with these women on their journeys, sharing these stories. And it's so important for all of us to be aware that you are your own best advocate. If we sit around and let the medical community tell us what's wrong with us and the extent to which they can help, we are always going to feel victimized. And to be able to stand up and say, I can take charge of my own health is a huge theme in my work. And I think probably, Angie, one of the reasons why you took to it so well, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because you're already used to that, you know? So Angie, tell me what, so I understand how it came into your life and how it's helped you. Tell me what it was like to first begin a journal speak practice. Like, you know, because I think a lot of people out there listen to my podcast, but they don't sort of step over the Rubicon and do the work. And so what is your experience? Talk to us a little about your journal speak practice and how it's evolved for you, something like around that.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, it made me realize the emotions that were keeping me in the state of chronic pain. Yes, I had an injury. I had a traumatic experience, but I didn't know that that experience and those emotions were keeping me in the chronic state. And all the emotions, you know, they started out with fear, and then they started out becoming anger at the stuff we were discovering and, you know, going to the FDA and going to Congress and getting nowheres. I mean, this was almost a 10-year fight to get this device off the market. So we used we were fueled by anger and frustration and fear, and we used that to fight to get it off the market. But now that it's off the market, what do I do with all those emotions now?
Yes.
You know, I still have this medical PTSD and I still have all this anger and angst at this company and at the FDA. What do I do with it? And the answer is release it.
Right.
Let it go. And how do I do that? And so, you know, following your course, listening to your podcasts, you know, going in the group and speaking to others and using the meditations. And finding the right meditations, I think, is key. I love the Insight app timer because you can type in, you know, your specific type of pain. Sometimes mine are headaches, so I'll type in headache meditation. And so finding tools to help you go into that space in your body and talk to it and say, you're okay. You don't have to spaz up right now. You can relax. You know, we're all right. And if we're not all right, it's okay. It's okay to go lay down for an hour until you do feel all right to get up and make dinner or whatever. Like, just, it's a perspective, a changing of perspective. Because before, say, like, I'm driving and I feel the pain coming on, I went into panic mode and the pain got worse.
Of course.
Where now, if it starts coming on, I kind of look at it differently. I treat it differently. I smile and I'm like, it's okay. You don't have to start panicking. We can make this go away, or if it doesn't go away, it's all right. We're going to get past it. So
absolutely. And you know, I think that you made such an excellent point about, you know, I always say there are two energies in this world, love and fear. And ironically, both of them can get us really far. You know, when you're fueled by fear and anger, you can go really far. I'm sure most of your East Shore fight was fueled by fear and anger.
Yeah.
Right. And look, you got it. You did it. You fought and you got it off the market and amazing. And so it's like what I say about being fueled by fear is the only problem is it has a lot of side effects. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be like, if you take a painkiller, certain painkillers don't even work for chronic pain. But let's say you found one that did. Sure. Okay. Maybe you have like a half hour pain free. But what are the side effects? What are the side effects to be addicted to a medication? Fear is the same. You know, I think I spent the first 35 years of my life fueled by fear, even once I did this work, because I was so scared that nobody was going to listen to me. And it's only been in the past 5-10 years that I've been able to calm down and be like, I will get just as far being fueled by love, but with no side effects. And so when we feel the pain coming on, because by the way, there's no cure for human pain because there's no cure for the human condition. There's only a cure for chronic pain because chronic pain is an epidemic of fear. And so when you feel a headache coming on, for instead of a panic, for you to say, oh, there you are. You're checking in on me. You're seeing if I need a diversion because let's say I had a fight with my husband. My son is sick. The East Shore people are upset. Whatever, you know, whatever's happening in anyone's life. And we say, oh, I see, there you are, coming to ask me. All pain is information. It's coming to say, do you need a diversion? Do you need to go lay down? Have you forgotten to take care of yourself? Are you not feeling your feelings? And for us to be able to respond to that pain and say, I totally hear you. I actually appreciate you. Thank you for coming to check in on me. I will let you stay for as long as you need, so until you understand that I'm safe, but I'm okay. I'm safe. However this goes, it's okay for me. Practicing total acceptance, it will go. Is that your experience?
Yeah, and I love that sentence. However this goes for me, it's okay. Even if this takes me down, it's okay because it'll pass.
Yes.
And it won't last as long as it used to. It's just the constant reaffirming to myself and to my body that we are going to get out of this chronic state. Yes, there are some things that are going to linger because, you know, I did have a major surgery and I do have major scar tissue. There are things that are going to be there, but they don't have to control me anymore. Like the chronic pain doesn't have to control my life. I was in a state of chronic pain management every single day. From the minute I got up right. to the minute I went to bed, it was every minute was some sort of pain management, whether it was an ibuprofen or whether it was the traction or whether it was heat or whether it was just all day long managing that pain. And it's not like that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just living. Yeah.
And you know what I love? So I often apologize for always repeating myself, but every time I apologize, I get like 100 emails of people saying, don't apologize. We need you to repeat yourself. So I'm about to repeat myself. When you say this, all I can think of is, okay, you have a trauma that basically blindsided you because you are a healthy person with no medical problems who goes in for a procedure that you totally trusted the doctor telling you, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be convenient. You're not going to have to worry about getting pregnant. So that's the definition of trauma, where we walk into something totally unexpected and it takes us down. And so this happens to you. And then all the years and all the, you know, uncertainty and not knowing who to trust. Okay, so there. And then becoming an advocate and leading, literally leading the charge to get this thing taken from the market. So when I think about you saying that day and night you were involved in chronic pain management, it's just, it's such a weird reaction I have. I'm probably the only one in the world who has this reaction, which is such tremendous love and compassion for your nervous system. How loving it was to give you that much pain because it was diverting you and protecting you from this trauma that was you were unable to process. You had no tools. You had no ability to process the trauma. So in that moment that all that pain was being sent, it was being sent as a messenger of peace as far as your nervous system and brain are concerned. Because as I was just saying this morning to someone, your nervous system and your brain are like a kind 5-year-old child that is misguided and got the rules wrong. You know, it's not against you. It is not trying to hurt you. Your body is never against you. Your body is in an effort to protect you from what it thinks is going to kill you. And the amount of repressed emotion that you had to have, Angie, in order to survive those 10 years in the estimation of your brain and your nervous system was far more dangerous than a little headache, even if it was a big headache, even if it was a headache for a week. That the perception of this primitive brain and nervous system, this fight or flight response, is that you are safer with the pain than you are with the feelings, which is why I'm so grateful that you found this work, because it gives you a roadmap to feel the feelings. And when the feelings are felt, the pain signals simply stop firing because they're not necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And like I said, it was just that missing tool in my toolbox because, you know, you can try all these external things and they may give you relief and they may not, but this is internal. This is mind and body and spirit, and using that to calm your nervous system. I don't know. It was just something I had never been taught before, and it's just magical and it works, and I can't thank you enough. You know, it's so weird because I have so many women around the world even that reach out to me and send me messages. Thank you. You saved my life. But thank you because you saved mine.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I mean, I will tell you, I do also hear it a lot, but it always like hits me in the same place, like somewhere between my heart and my stomach, like all of it, just because I had my life saved. You know, I mean, when I was 19 and I thought I was never going to have biological children and never have a regular life and be limited, and I was living in absolute abject terror all the time, to have my mom watch the Rosie O'Donnell show and hear about Dr. Sarno and watch Jeanette Barber, her producer, who had been in a motorized wheelchair, do a cartwheel on stage and run the New York Marathon. I mean, like, that was my, you know, my moment of Googling neuropathy and hearing the podcast. Like, we all have our beautiful moment of awakening. And and I'm so grateful. You know, some people knock social media and knock the internet and think it's, you know, made us all toxic with other people's lives and expectations. And I know there's truth to that. But I think Angie and I can both attest to the tremendous healing power of connection that we have found online and being able to connect people. Because as Angie mentioned, she's also quite active in my online community, which is Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. It's a private group on Facebook. Please come join us. It's an amazing supportive community. So Angie, what's it been like for you to be there amongst all your fellow chronic pain warriors?
I love it because it's a healing space. And for instance, my group, while it's a support group and we're there for each other and we're all going through the same experience, there was still this anger and fear. Whereas in your group, we're in a healing state. We've gone past that fear and the anger and we're letting that go and we're healing. So for me, it's just beautiful. And it's something that I do want to bring to the women in my group, because everyone deserves to know about this and everyone deserves to have this tool to be able to get themselves out of this chronic state of illness, chronic pain, chronic conditions, whatever. Everyone deserves to know how to do that. And I really, really want to share this with so many people. And that's why I'd reached out to you, just because, you know, I have had so many media contacts or whatever, and I wanted to help you share the word. So let's do it together. And I don't know, we both have this calling or this anointing on our life to help people. So
absolutely,
I'm just so happy to help you and have you help me?
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, every time something like that happens, it's further confirmation that my efforts are worthwhile. Because, you know, I mean, similar to you, I spent 10 years getting the door slammed rather unapologetically in my face, and still do all the time. And that's okay. Because you know why? Every little bit matters. Every person, every one of you guys who emails me and tells me your successes, even your small successes, it matters. Every person who signs up to my online course and then I hear back and said, oh my God, it changed the game for me. It matters. It matters. It matters. And I know that this is just the beginning of a revolution. I used to call it a truth revolution, of people being able to unearth what they need to know about themselves, about the way they feel, and leading their bodies to be able to breathe a final sigh of relief. Oh, we don't have to be in spasm anymore. We don't have to be in turmoil, sending pain signals all over the body to myriad conditions. You know, I feel for you, because how would you ever know that a device implanted in your fallopian tubes could cause headaches because of trauma, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's why no doctors could put it together. They're like, there's absolutely no way that that has anything to do with that. But it's like, well, that's when everything started, and that's when the ball started rolling. So it has to have had something to do with it. So, you know, now the dots actually connect and they make sense.
Yeah. And, you know, Dr. Sarno used to say, my methods are more scientific than surgery. I mean, this is brain science, folks. This is brain science. Like, if your body is in constant panic, you're going to feel it everywhere. I still to this day, Angie, do not understand why this is so hard for people to get.
Yeah.
But, you know, just powering on, and, you know, it will come at the pace that society is ready for it, you know?
Yeah. And I do think you have to be seeking it or at your wit's end. Because I was seeking wellness and I was kind of at my wit's end, where I was facing this surgery that I knew that wasn't going to help. So, you know, the universe brought this to me at the right time. But I do think people have to be open to it.
Yeah, for sure. I always say true readiness is everything. So that is a definite point well taken. So Angie, at the point that you're at, I mean, you've really not been doing this for very long. I know you really dove in, but it's only been a few months, right?
Yeah, started in August.
Okay. So at this point, so we're in January, so it's been a few months. Do you have any questions? Do you have any, you know, anything? I always think everyone's questions are everyone's questions. Like anything you could come up with, and no pressure, but if you can come up with any questions that you have, I'm sure somebody listening has that question too. So is there anything that you wanted to share or ask about kind of where you're at right now?
Yeah. Okay. So one of my traumas is intimacy. Mm-hmm. So obviously this affected my relationship with my husband and still does. Not only from the PTSD experience of pain down there, you know, rolling into the intimacy part of life, but it is still painful. So there is this still, it's not resentment because we both love each other, but there is this overlying unspoken thing between us. And I know that that feeds the little bit of pain that I have left. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if I should seek, maybe if we should seek couples therapy to kind of work through that, because he's a very quiet man, a man of very few words, and doesn't easily talk about anything in general, but specifically not sensitive subjects. So how to approach this with my husband so that we can kind of get through this hurdle together?
Well, thank you for being brave and asking such an amazing question that I'm sure are like many thousands of people are like moving closer to their phone or wherever they're listening to this to hear the answer to this, because this is the stuff that people don't usually talk about. Here is what I think, and I think this is also really divinely orchestrated in terms of timing. Now that Eshore was just removed from the market weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
This is like really new. I think, first of all, I can't tell you how much I advocate for couples therapy. I have been in it myself in my own happy marriage where I don't feel that there's like any one underlying problem that is like the main thing. Communication between two human beings is so healing. It's insane. Sometimes just the act of going and sitting down with another person and both being willing to walk through the door takes you like 30% there. Just the shared, the commonality of effort and willingness is huge. But also what I love about couples therapy is that people who wouldn't normally do this kind of work that you and I are talking about, the journal speak work and the emotional excavation, are invited to at least do a little bit. And it sounds like your husband really needs to be witnessed and probably wouldn't on his own. And mm-hmm. the way I think you could sell him on it, back to my divine timing piece, is for you to sit down with him and say, babe, we have been through the war. We have been through it. We made it through. We're still together. You know, all this horror that's happened to me and all the ancillary horror that's happened to you, but it's off the market now. I'm doing this healing work to heal the rest of my symptoms that I had no idea were directly connected to the Eshore. I want us to heal us now. I want us as a partnership to acknowledge the war. You know, when veterans come back from war and they don't acknowledge what's happened to them, that's when they have the kind of stuff that leads them to be suicidal. Like, we need to acknowledge as a group what we go through. And one of the things that happens at my retreats that is so powerful that people tell me all the time is like the best thing they got out of going is not being alone, being together in the fight with people that have been in the fight. And God knows if there's any two people that have been in the fight for in your life, it's you and your husband, you know, together against this incredibly painful adversary, which is the medical model, the Eshore, the FDA, the, you know, all the shit is like so huge. And so I would really love for you to approach him in a space of togetherness, partnership, compassion, turning over a new leaf, honoring the end of Eshore and saying, let's now heal us. Because, you know, part of what I say about healing yourself, okay, so I'm going to keep going with other examples that will be relevant, which is like some people come to me and say they can't forgive their mother. They can't forgive their father. They can't forgive their priest. They can't forgive their abuser in whatever way. And mm-hmm. I say, right, I know, I get it. I totally get it. But who is still suffering? Who is still suffering? Aren't you worth it? Aren't you worth taking the chance that forgiveness is first and foremost for yourself? You know, and that's sometimes the way I get people over the hump of it. And in the same sense, it's like, you guys are worth it. For you to continue to suffer because of what an outside entity has done to you is the ultimate irony. You guys should be the ones that are the victors here. And that victory comes from communication and togetherness. So do you feel like that's sort of an energy you could approach him with?
Yeah, actually, it's so funny because one of the lessons in your course is writing the letter that you're never going to send. And a lot of my journaling is like that, you know, writing these letters that you're never going to send. But I wrote him a letter, but I felt like I did need to give it to him, and I did give it to him. And that started our first conversation about this. It's like, okay, you know, we've lost that intimacy because of this device, and where do we go from here, and how do we heal this? So starting that conversation was a huge step for me, because had I not started it, it probably would have never happened.
Right.
But I'm just, you know, now I have to figure out where to take it from here.
Well, if you can sort of approach him like that, I think more than you realize, he's craving it. He's starving for it, because who wouldn't be, you know, after all these years? And I'm also going to say something about the fact that intercourse or whatever intimacy is painful, or you have pain. Yeah. There's so much that is not structural about that. So much. I've watched people have so much healing over dealing with the emotional side of the part of their body that was affected. It's not, I mean, of course, with female issues, pelvic pain, stuff like that, it's extra, extra vulnerable. But even with someone who, for example, was a tennis player or a runner or something where they actually defined themselves quite a bit from the activity, and then they have an injury that causes that part of their body to no longer be able to do the activity, they can be totally healed, but every time they run, their knee hurts, right? And it's like they could easily blame it on, oh, the act of running, of course. But see, I say not of course, because when I have had people confront the deep loss that they felt from not running anymore, and how they define themselves as an athlete, and how they found their self-worth as a person who could do this or that, they didn't have knee pain when they ran anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
And it's really possible for you, Angie. I mean, if you look at what you've been through, just breathe. There's no timeline on it. You know, it's not like you're ever expected to turn around and be well, but I'm telling you, I promise you, this is an absolute possibility for you to have no pain with this entire situation once, and whatever readiness that is in your body, your mind, your spirit, your husband, once this is really aired, because that is what causes ultimate healing.
Yeah. I believe that, and I'm going to keep believing that, and I'm going to keep doing the work, and I'm going to get there. You know, I had set a goal in my mind of, oh, by next summer, I'm going to be pain-free and medication-free. And then I was like, you know what? Don't do that. Don't set yourself on timelines. Just go with it. And it's going to come in its own time.
Absolutely. I always think setting timelines is like fear-based, you know, because we want to set a timeline because we're like, okay, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. That's like a fear-based timeline. I really believe, and you guys have heard me say this ad nauseum, in the next right considered action. Just that.
Yep.
Whatever's right in front of you. If the next right considered action was to ask that question of me so I could give you that answer, then that was that. And if at some point in the future you decide you want to sit down with your husband and speak some words toward that, that will be the next right considered action. And then you'll see. You'll see from there. You know, I think we're such an outcome-driven society, and it's not our fault. I mean, it's what we're sold, but that we're always looking for like, what will happen? What's going to be? What am I going to get? And, you know, I just think staying in the present and doing the next right considered action actually leads to a lot better outcomes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as I ask all my beloved podcast interviewees, I'm going to put it to you, Angie. We are sitting here in the space of many, many thousands of people. The podcast is growing every week, who are suffering, who are searching, who are seeking. As a person who has really come so far, what advice would you give to people who are suffering?
I think for me, the most important thing people need to stop doing is seeking a diagnosis and seeking a physical reason for their pain and for their chronic illness. I watch it all the time. You know, oh, I went to my doctor and they can't figure it out. And, oh, well, I think it's this diagnosis. Well, I was researching and I think I have this. Stop doing that.
Right.
Stop trying to diagnose yourself. Stop trying to get diagnosed. And if you have diagnoses, don't let them define you. Say, if you've been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, or if you've been diagnosed with occipital neuralgia or this or that, it doesn't define you. Okay, you may have something wrong with your back. You may have something wrong with this muscle or whatever. But this mind-body work, the power of the mind and the spirit to retrain the nervous system is real and it works. And even if there is something faulty in your spine or faulty in your body, you don't have to be in chronic pain because of it. And you can change that. You can change that pathway. And I'm doing it. And I'm watching people in your group doing it. And I've listened to all the people on your podcast who have done it. And I know there's thousands of people that are pain-free. So just, you have to believe. You have to believe and you have to do the work.
Absolutely. Wow. What great advice. I always love it when I ask that question because you guys always give me better answers than I could have given. that was really great advice because I do think that people, and once again, fear-based behavior, which we do not blame anyone for because sometimes we're just panicked, is to keep looking. Looking, looking, looking. I want another answer. I want to see another specialist because you know what? We're terrified. So we're dying to give away our power. We're dying for someone else to be like, you have this and I will deal with this for you. And who could blame us? You know, I mean, that is just really human to want to be cared for, to want to be held, and to know ultimately that you can heal and hold yourself is power that no one can ever take away from you. And so, Angie, thank you for that wonderful advice. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
Awesome. Well, guys, listen, remember if this podcast is affecting you and you're enjoying it, please hop over to iTunes and rate and review this podcast. It really helps to get exposure and I love reading what you guys have to say. And until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.